Thank you. sing these songs, as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is you. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those moans. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, we command our souls today. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those moans. Don't you get shy on me.
There's not a thing that's here, and every eye is on you. Can't get enough of your presence. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like, just like, just like heaven? Sound like heaven when you're singing over me. There's not a voice more constant. Your melodies, they never cease. Here I will stand in your presence, and my true identity. Doesn't it sound like, yeah, it sounds like, just like heaven. Oh.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. We invite you to stand while we get ready to worship our God this morning. I want you to clap your hands and lift your voice.
We praise you.
We'll see you break down every wall.
praise you. Come on, lift your hands and say, Lord, I praise you. It's so true, like the song says, fear cannot survive when you praise God. Before we sing our next song, which is one of my favorite songs right now, it's called Shelter In. And really, it comes right out of Psalm 91. The song we're going to sing, the words are inspired from Psalm 91. And in prayer this morning, I said to everyone who was praying that I felt the Lord stir me up in my heart and tell me that I need to declare Psalm 91 every day over my life, that it's like my spiritual medication. And I want to encourage you to do the same. In fact, we're going to do it today. We're going to speak Psalm 91 over our lives today. Will you do it with me? I'll lead it. It says, because I live in the shelter of the Most High God, I find rest under the shadow of the Almighty. Say, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. Do you trust Him today? It says, I trust Him. And then it says, say, He will rescue me from every trap. He will protect me from deadly disease. Say it again. Thank you, Lord. You protect me from deadly disease. He will cover me with His feathers. He will shelter me with His wings. His faithful promises are my armor and my protection. I am not afraid of the terrors by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. I do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at my side, and though 10,000 are dying around me, these evils will not touch me. I have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, my shelter. No evil will conquer me. Come on, no plague will come near my dwelling. No plague will come near my home, for He will order His angels to protect me. Wherever I go, they will hold me up in their hands. I won't even hurt my foot on a stone. I will trample upon lions, cobras. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them, honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Amen. Let's sing it out together. I want you to know that this song is singing. It's declaring the greatness of God over your life. I encourage you to sing out with us. Give God praise.
Say of the Lord, You will cover me in strength, keep me underneath Your wings. Arrows fly by day, in Your shadow I am safe. Angels guide my way, oh, I will not fear. The terror of night, it will not come near. Your presence is light. I find refuge in Your love. You're my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I take shelter in Your name. Amazing grace, my hiding place. I say of the Lord, though destruction plague the day, the name of Jesus saves. He will save me from the snare. No harm can tarry here, so I will not fear the terror of night. It will not come near. Your presence is a light, and I find refuge in your love. Come on and sing. You're my
Lord, we give you honor. we God.
We trust in you.
Pour our out trust your spirit is in you, this Lord. Place, Lord. God,
hallelujah.
We've come for you.
Amen. Thanks, Monique. We're gonna have our prayer and praise time right now. We're gonna pray. We want to pray for you. You know, our God is a miracle-working God. And we are a church that believes in miracles. Thank you for your great enthusiasm this morning. You know, Darcy, he didn't want me to bring him. He asked me not to bring him up on stage. Right, Darcy? Are you still adamant about that one? You want to come up here or you want to stay there? You're good right there. Well, wave at them so they know. That's Darcy. Darcy called me this week. And he said, Pastor Steve, and they were so excited, he and Kathy, they were so excited. Kathy was crying. And he said, remember when you prayed for me when we were back at the hotel? And he had one eye, his left eye was blind his whole life. Is that right, Darcy? You've never been able to see out of that eye. So when you were younger, you could barely see out of it. And the last 10 years, nothing at all. And we prayed for you. And you called me and you said, this week, all of a sudden, you could see out of your eye. Is that right? Now, you told me that the vision in that eye wasn't perfect yet, but you could see. It's a little blurred. And I said to you, one time, Jesus prayed for a man who was blind. He laid his hands on him, and then he asked him, what do you see? And the man said, I see men like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on him again, the second time. And then he said, what do you see now? He said, I see all things perfectly. Sometimes a miracle can take place in more than one step. And I believe the first step is a major breakthrough, a major miracle, right? I mean, there's no explanation for it. So we are believing God for Dorsey's eyesight. Stretch your hands toward him. Lord, we thank you for restoring Dorsey's eyesight. We thank you for 20/20 vision in that eye. We thank you that the vision in that eye is just as good, if not better, than the vision in his right eye. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Darcy had said to me that from the time that we prayed for him, he and Kathy, he had been standing on the word of God. He'd been believing. He'd been declaring that he's healed. Am I right, Darcy? You'd been doing what you've heard in church. You've been speaking the word of God over that eye all this time. And that's why that eye just opened up. Huh? Praise God. There's some things doctors, we thank God for doctors, but there's some things they can do. But Jesus, there's nothing that's impossible for him. So we want to pray. If you need a miracle today, if you need healing today, if you have a financial need, whatever it may be, something, you need a relationship restored. Whatever it is, you're facing a difficulty. You don't know what to do. Let me tell you. The Bible says the reason we don't have what we ask, what we need, the reason we don't have what we want is because we don't ask God. So often we go through our life and we try and solve everything by ourselves. God wants you to look to Him. He wants you to trust in Him. He wants you to call upon Him. He wants you to ask Him. He said, ask me whatever you desire, and if you believe you receive it, it will be yours. So I want to encourage, if you need prayer this morning, don't be shy. This might be the first time you've ever been to a Ascend church. Might be the first time you ever stepped foot in a church. Who knows? But you are welcome here today. We love you. God loves you. You don't have to feel shy in any way because we are all for you. And if you need prayer, I want you to come right now. We have our prayer partners. They're going to be here to pray for you. My wife and I are going to be here to pray for you. If you need prayer, come right now, and we're going to sing our final song. It's called, I Need Revival. Say, I Need Revival. Say, Lord, I need revival. Revive me today. Amen. You know, often we pray for revival to spread across the nation. And of course, we desire that. But let me tell you, revival starts on the inside of you. You got to get on fire for God. Revival starts with you, and let this be the cry of our heart. Holy Spirit, come touch us today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place today. We need you, Lord. We need you. We need your touch. We need your presence. We need your spirit. We need your anointing. Come, Holy Spirit, revive us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Make it, I won't last without you in my life. You help me, you lead me, you meet me where I am. God, I surrender, Lord, here I am. Still in your presence, I lift up my hands. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me again. I need revival. I need revival. Baptize me. Purify me. Immerse me.
My strength, I lay my life down to find.
your seats, I would love for you to reach up your hands and worship God in this moment. God, we surrender it all to you. Everything must bow before you, Jesus. Yes. We give you honor in this place.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Overflow in this place, God.
Lord. Yes.
Yeah. Baptize me. I need revival. Purify me.
I need revival.
Baptize me.
I need revival.
Oh, purify me.
I need revival.
I won't make it.
I need revival.
Without you, I won't last.
I need revival.
Oh, I won't make it.
I need revival.
Of God, and you begin to say, God, move in my life. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Be prepared for some things to start happening. Be prepared for God to begin to move in your life. Amen. I like that. How about you? Let's just pray over Afghanistan right now. Father God, as a body of believers, we lift up our faith today. We lift up our prayers before you for our brothers and sisters that are believers in Afghanistan. We pray for men, women, and children. Father, innocent people that are in harm's way. Father, we pray for miracles. We pray for supernatural protection. Just like in the Exodus where they painted the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and the angel of death passed over. We pray, Father, for some supernatural protection over your people. We ask, you said you would send your angels to bring protection and deliverance, and we ask you to do it today. Father, we pray over the leadership that there would be, that you would give solutions. And Father, that you would work in this situation to turn things around, Father. But we ask you to protect people today and tonight and in the week to come in the name of Jesus. Thwart the plan of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them you look so good today, and you may be seated.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Good to see you today. You're looking good, good. Nice to see you, Kurt. Drove past where you live this morning and I was like, man, I miss you. So good to see you in church. Wonderful, wonderful. Welcome to everybody present and welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning. We have people that watch us. We have our members when they can't be in church. Maybe they're traveling, like Debbie was traveling last week. She said, watch the service. But we have viewers from around the world. Welcome. We're glad you're joining us to hear the word today. We want to welcome anyone who's in church today visiting for the first time. We're a church. We're not a closed door, bless me club. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? And so if you're here for the first time, we'd just like to honor you. We'd just like to give you a visitor packet where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? Anybody here for the first time? God bless you. Come on, make it louder. We like having visitors. Visitors all along the back there. Thank you. Just keep your hand up till an usher gets to you. Demony, there's visitors there. Thank you. Thank you, anyone. We'd be handing you a visitor pack, and in there's just a couple of things just to welcome you. There's a card that comes, there's a visitor card that's in there, a white one. It says guest. We ask if you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. If you drop that card in, Pastor Steve would love to just give you a call, find out how you enjoyed the service, see if we could pray for you in any area of your life. And thank you. We'd also like to meet you after if you just stick around and say hi. We're so thankful that you're here today. And I want to let you know on this, we put a guest card in there. I'll tell you more about that now. But for those of you who are not here for the first time, regular attendees and members of our church, we're going to pass register by, we pass the clipboard by. Please just fill your name out and any change of any details you have. It really helps us as pastors to just take care of the flock that God's put under our care. It's important, right? That's what shepherds do. And so please do that. If you don't receive our weekly text, we don't text all the time, just once a week or perhaps twice sometimes, but just text the word ASCEND to the number 313131, and then you'll be updated as to what's going on or any special events. If on social media, there's various ways that you can watch. You can check in on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook Live today, just go ahead and let us know where you're watching from. I'm always thrilled to see we have people from the West Coast that watch, and we have people from other countries that watch, and thank you for just putting it in the comments. We appreciate that. Love to see where you're watching from. You can go ahead and share the live stream on Facebook. It's a way of reaching people. You know, we have more people that watch online than we do that are actually in service. Now, I'll pick in service over online any day, but it's a tool, isn't it? It's a way to reach out. But you can go ahead and share, like and share the Facebook, Instagram pages. Download our app. There's a little barcode on the seat. If you scan it, it'll take you to our website. You can get our app. I found that very useful. It's got a lot of tools, a lot of teachings, a lot of Bible reading plan, all kinds of things. You can watch on our website. You can watch on our Ascend Church app. You can watch on YouTube. It's Ascend Church Jupiter. And then, of course, on Facebook as well. So there's various ways to watch the service and to watch it afterwards. You know, often if I get something out of it, you only hear so much when you're sitting in church, and if something really ministers to you, go back and watch it again. Take notes, underline it in your Bible, let it sink into your heart, get the full impact of the message, right? And I just want to say that in the visitor bag, we have this card, a welcome to Ascend Church, and it gives you the four main purposes of our church, and I like to just reiterate them every week, because everything we do from the word go to the end encompasses these four things. The first one is we want you to know God better than you do right now. Keep knowing Him better. Second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area of your life. We could stand and have a testimony service of people that are free in their lives from all kinds of things, ranging from addictions to depression to suicide to all kinds of things. God wants us free, and we want freedom, right? Thirdly, for you to discover your purpose. God has a purpose for you. We all designed with gifts and talents. And then number four, for us to make a difference with our lives. Amen. That's the main purposes of our church. And I don't know how your week's been, but man, have we been working. Huh? We are packing up our house where we've lived for 20 years. And our kids moved out and left all their junk. Hey, what a lot of stuff.
What did we, last night we found my son's love letters, my son's old girlfriend's love letters in piles stuffed under his bed somewhere,
he's a,
right?
He's a very, we only got one son, but he's so neat. But so they were very carefully labeled. So I sent a picture to his wife. I said, what should I do? She says, burn the lot of them. It was funny. But we were, I tell you, we were wiped out last night because we just packed and packed and packed, right? It ain't done.
I'll be glad when it is done.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. I want to thank everybody who invited a guest to come to church today. Thank you for inviting. How many of you invited someone? They may not have come, but you invited them. Wave your hand at me if you invited someone. Wave at me. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Will you keep doing that? Take this little invite card. There's one on every seat. Take more than one if you want. I use these all the time to invite people to church. Also, last Sunday, I spoke about created for connection, how that we've been created to connect. In the body of Christ, the Bible says we're all connected to one another. And we're going to be starting connect groups on September 22nd. That's on a Wednesday night. We'll be launching our connect groups. I'm meeting with our connect group leaders this week at my house. And so if you did not yet sign up to join, to be part of a connect group, I really want to encourage you. We're going to have connect groups in Stuart, in Wellington, in West Palm, in the Acreage. Tell me again, Royal Palm, what is it? Shout it out. Royal Palm, Loxahatchee, we're going to have a group there. We're going to have a group in Jupiter, of course. And so if you didn't sign up yet, we're busy getting ready. We're going to be giving all the names to the Connect Group leaders this week. I really want to encourage you not to miss out. The Connect Groups only run for 8 weeks. They're going to be September through mid-November. And even if you can't be there every week, I still encourage you to sign up. Even if you don't go every week, this is so good for you to connect with other people in the church, make friendships. It's a place where you'll be encouraged. It's a place where you'll have people who will stand with you and believe God with you and pray with you. And you'll make friendships at Connect Group. So I really want to encourage you. Right, Anna? Our Connect Group leaders, we have a number of them. So please fill out this card. It's on your seat. It says Connect. And be sure to put it in the offering bucket later on. And we'll be getting in contact with you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Anna. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can put our trust in you, that we can rest in you, knowing that you are our protector, you are our healer, you are our provider. Lord, you are our God. You are everything we need. We thank you that we do not have to fear. We do not have to be anxious. We do not have to be worried, Lord, that we can trust in you, knowing that you are more than enough. You're El Shaddai. You're the God who is more than enough. And I thank you today, Lord, that as I speak your word today, I'm trusting in you to help me, to anoint me, to enable me to speak through me, Lord. I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Tell him you're looking good today. You look better today than you did last week. Getting better every week. Amen. We want to welcome all those who are watching, joining us online. We're so glad, wherever you may be, we have people around the world, so glad you joined us today. And today I want to speak about rest in God. Rest in God. Tell your neighbor, rest in God. Now, rest doesn't mean that you're on vacation and you never do anything. We all have to work. We all have to deal with challenges. We have to interact with different people. But we're supposed to do this from a place of peace, not worried, anxious, fearful, stressed out, fighting everything that we don't like. No, Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Do you know that the only place that you can get true rest and peace is in God? Jesus wants you to live in rest. And one meaning of the word rest, there's a number of different things it can mean, but one of the meanings of the word rest, it means to be free from anxiety or to be free from outside disturbances. It also means to trust. It means to remain confident. So when you are resting in God, you're trusting in God. You're confident that He's going to take care of you. You are not worried. You are not anxious. You are free from all anxiety. That's what it means to rest in God. And the scripture says in Proverbs 3, verse 25, "You will not be subject to terror, for it will not terrify you, nor will the disrespectful be able to push you aside, because God is your confidence in times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation." Say, my confidence is in God, and my heart is at rest in every situation. In Hebrews 2, verse 13, it says, "My confidence rests in God." And the New King James Bible says, "I will put my trust in Him." I want you to see that resting in God is really the same thing as trusting in God. Rest and trust go together. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and chapter 4, it talks a lot about the Israelites who refused to enter into that place of rest. They wouldn't believe God. They wouldn't trust God. And so as a result, they didn't enter the promised land, even though that was God's will for them. God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, but God did many amazing miracles for them, like parting the Red Sea, but still they refused to trust Him. They continually would complain, and that we should go back to Egypt. And the scripture says in Hebrews 3, in verse 18, "So God swore an oath that they would never enter into His calming place of rest because they disobeyed Him." Do you know that it's very important, if you want to live in rest, you've got to live in obedience to God. In Hebrews 3 verse 19, it says, "So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter into rest." You see, if you're going to enter into that place of resting in God, you've got to trust Him. You've got to believe Him. You've got to put your confidence in Him. The Living Bible says they didn't trust Him. That's why they didn't enter into the place of rest. And in the next chapter, in Hebrews chapter 4, God goes on to speak to us. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in those who hear it." Do you know that God's word does not profit you unless you mix faith with what God's word says? The New Living Bible says, "For only," verse 3 says, "For we who have believed, do enter that rest. The way that you enter into rest and peace in God is by believing Him. In fact, the New Living Translation says, only we who believe can enter into rest. You cannot enter into that place of rest and that place of peace unless you're willing to believe what God's Word says and willing to trust Him. The Passion Translation says it like this. I'm going to read it, Hebrews 4 from the Passion. It says, now the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we will all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, and yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted what God said. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. The secret to living in rest and peace is believing everything God says in His Word. You cannot enter into God's rest without faith. Resting in God is trusting in God. Amen? In fact, in verse 6 of Hebrews 4, it says, those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into that realm of faith's rest because of their unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into the faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of that promise. Now, if you go down to verse 9, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now, God is really encouraging us to enter into this place of rest, of believing Him and of trusting Him. In fact, the Passion Bible says, it says, so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. God says the children of Israel, they never entered the place of rest, and consequently, they never took the promised land. Because they wouldn't trust me. They kept doubting me. Folks, if we want to live in a place of rest and peace, we've got to come to a place in our life where we believe and trust what God says, no matter how things look. We believe what God says. We put our trust and confidence in Him. That's how you live in rest and peace. God says we must make every effort to enter into that rest. Now, I told you there's more than one meaning of the word rest. Another definition of the word rest, it means to be calm. It means to cease work or movement in order to relax. It means to place something so that it is supported in a specified position. It means to depend on, to lean on, or to place confidence in. Now imagine, I was going to get Big Nick up on the stage here. Can you get up here real fast? How fast can you get up here? Come on, get up here real fast, real fast. I need your help real quick. Come on, you're going to run, man. You're going to run, Nick. Come on, I don't have time. Run fast. Come on. I want to show you what resting in God is. We've got Big Nick here, 6'5", I believe, something like that. 6'4", excuse me. Come stand right here, Nick. Come stand right here. Now, you turn like that. You embarrassed, Nick? What about the time when you jumped up at the Diana Ross concert and pulled your T-shirt off? You weren't embarrassed then. So now listen, stand there. This is me resting on Nick. That's how you got to rest on God. You just totally hold. You're resting. He's your support. That's what it means to rest in God, right? Yes. Praise God, Nick. And the Bible says, only those who believe can enter this rest. This rest is the place where we know God is in control. We know God is fighting our battles. But you see, here's the key. Once you enter this rest, you're not going to automatically stay there, because let me tell you, life is full of peace stealers. There's always going to be somebody trying to pull you out of that rest, or some circumstance trying to pull you out of that rest. The enemy's going to do everything he can to get you out of that place of rest, out of that place of peace. He's always trying to steal our faith. You see, the opposite of rest means to be disturbed, to be agitated, to have stress, worry, anxiety, fear. That's the opposite of rest. If you're worried, if you're anxious, if you're in fear, if you're agitated, you're not in rest. You got to get into that place of rest and stay there where you don't let anything steal your trust and confidence in God. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, more than anything you guard, protect your mind. For life flows from your mind. You know, you got to protect your mind. The English revised version, it says, above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. Do you know that what you are thinking is controlling your life? If you're going to live in peace, you got to protect your mind. You can't allow just anything to come into your mind, because your rest and your faith is affected by what you see and by what you hear and by what you think and by what you say. I said your faith and your rest is affected by what you see, by what you hear, by what you think, and by what you say. And what you think and what you say is determined by what you hear and by what you see. Did you get that? So you got to be careful what you're listening to. The scripture says in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. As you are here today, and you are listening to me share the word of God with you, what is happening is faith is rising up in your heart. That's why people walk out of church and say, Pastor Steve, I feel so good. I feel so encouraged. Why? Because you just heard the word of God. Now, you got to hear the word of God on a continual basis. You can't watch the news 24 hours a day and expect to stay in rest. Your mind was not meant to take in all the tragedies, all the accidents, all the killings, over and over and over. That's going to pull you out of that place of rest. So you've got to do yourself a favor. You've got to turn it off. You've got to be careful what you feed your inner person. If you watch all the news about the coronavirus pandemic and you're on and on, what's going on in Afghanistan and on and on and on, it's going to cause you to be stressed out, to be worried, to be anxious. You can't feed on negativity and discouragement and expect to stay positive and filled with faith. You've got to feed yourself on what God says. And I like to watch the news. My wife doesn't like to watch the news. She comes in the room and the news is on. She's like, turn the news off. I like watching the news because I like to know what's going on in the world. But I have to be careful, because I've learned that after about 15 minutes, usually I've picked up everything I need to know, because most news stories repeat every 30 minutes. It's designed for people who are flipping through channels. You're not supposed to sit there and watch it over and over and hear the same thing 20 times over. Once you got the news, man, then put it aside and then fill yourself with what God says in His Word. I don't want to be ignorant. I want to know what's going on in the world today, but I've got to be careful, for me, it doesn't make me fearful, it makes me mad. So I've got to be careful what I watch, because I end up getting mad and fighting with the TV when I'm watching what's going on. I've got to limit what I watch and what I listen to. Are you with me, everybody? Put on some good news, man. Feed your inner person with encouraging things that build you up and make you stay positive and hopeful and inspired. Listen to what God says. Listen to what God says. Listen to Proverbs 1, verse 33. It says, the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident, courageous. That one will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. Isn't that powerful? The one who listens to me. So we got to be aware. What is pulling you out of that rest? Sometimes it's our own choices. You know, if you get on social media and you're constantly comparing your life to everyone else's, that can discourage you. You're never going to feel good about who you are as long as you are competing and comparing with other people. God made you to be you. Let me tell you, there's always going to be somebody that's more beautiful, more talented, more successful. That's a peace stealer. You've got to put up a boundary. You've got to say, no, I'm not going to live in somebody else's world. I'm not obsessed with what they're doing and where they're going and what they're reading and what they're driving. I'm going to run my own race. I'm going to run the race that God has for me. Amen? You know, you can miss your destiny by being caught up in somebody else's life. Successful people are too focused on their own life and their own race to look around at what everybody else is doing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 in verse 12, when they compare themselves with one another, they lack wisdom and they behave like fools. Do you know that it's foolish to compare yourself to somebody else? God never made you to be them. God made you to be you. Quit comparing yourself to somebody else because it'll just pull you out of rest. Let me tell you, the enemy is going to do all he can to get you out of that rest. He's going to try and bring fear to you. He's going to try and bring doubt to you. He's going to try and remind you of the problems. But Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, listen to this, everything I've taught you is so that the peace that is in me will be in you. Think about that. Everything I've taught you is so that the peace that's in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. Everything I taught you is so that the peace that's in me will be in you and you will have great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrow, but you must be courageous, for I've conquered the world. See, very often we use our faith to try and control our circumstances, but I've found that it's better to use my faith to control myself in the midst of those circumstances. I know if I can just stay stable in the storms of life, if I can just stay in peace, that's what allows God to move in my life and to change things. Because God never said we wouldn't have any difficulties, but he said we could have peace in the midst of it. See, when you face adversity, one of the most powerful things you can do is to simply stay calm, be at rest, because when you're at peace, when you're at rest, you are proving to God that you trust him by your actions. You're saying, Lord, I know you're still on the throne. I know you're bigger than this problem. I know you're my protector. I know you're my healer. I know you're my provider. By being at peace and by being at rest, that's what your actions are saying. When the Israelites came out of slavery in Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land and they were so happy they were finally free, but then Pharaoh changed his mind. And he came chasing after them. And they came to a dead end. They had the Red Sea in front of them. And they had the Egyptian army chasing behind them. And they had nowhere to go. It looked like there was no way out. And instead of staying in faith and peace, knowing God had delivered them before and that God would do it again, they got all upset. They began to get afraid. They began to start complaining. Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? It was better to serve the Egyptians and die out here in the wilderness. And Moses knew. He had to get them out of that negative mentality or they would be defeated. And the scripture says in Exodus 14, in verse 13, do not be afraid. Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. Do you know when you hold your peace, when you remain at rest, that's when God can fight your battles? That's a powerful, powerful principle. God will fight your battles if you'll just stay calm, if you'll just remain at peace, if you'll just remain at rest. Some of you are facing some major challenges in your life right now. You're constantly wrestling with that problem. You're so worried about it. You're not sleeping well at night. You're trying to fix this person or you're trying to pay somebody back who did you wrong. You're trying to pray long enough to show God you mean business. You're all wrought up, anxious. If you want God to take care of that problem, let me tell you what to do. You've got to give it to him and you've got to trust him. You've got to come back to that place of peace. That's what shows God that you really are believing him. That's why the scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. How many things are we supposed to worry about? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. You see, resting in God is trusting in God. It is depending on Him. Amen. I think about Daniel thrown into a lion's den because he refused to stop praying. He didn't get upset. They made a law that for the next 30 days, nobody could pray except to King Darius. And anyone who prayed to any other god would be thrown in a lion's den. Well, you would have thought Daniel would have said, hey, I can go 30 days without praying. I'll just wait till it's up. What's the big deal? He refused to stop praying. He prayed 3 times a day just like he normally did, even though it was against the... It was against the... What are you going to do if they tell you it's against the law to go to church? Oh, Pastor Steve, that'll never happen. It's happening right now. There was a pastor in Canada was arrested. They took him down like with a SWAT team. They took him down in the street like a SWAT team because he was having church. He was a Polish man, grew up in communist Poland. He said, this is worse than it was when I grew up in communist Poland. Don't tell me. But you know what? Daniel never stopped him praying. He carried on praying. He didn't get upset. He didn't stay up all night praying, begging, God, please protect me. God, please help me. He stayed in peace. King Darius was so worried, he couldn't sleep. But Daniel walked in that lion's den, laid down, went to sleep right in the middle of the storm because his attitude was, man, God, I know you on the throne. If I die tonight, I'm going to go to heaven, come be with you. But if it's not my time to go, I know all the forces of darkness can't take me. So I'm going to relax. I'm going to keep my peace. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to enjoy my life. And he went to sleep in the lion's den. He remained stable. He remained at peace, at rest. That's what allows God to work in your life. That's what I want you to see. God protected him and God delivered him because he was at rest. But when we're worried, when we're anxious, when we're fearful, we actually tie the hands of Almighty God. He can't do what he wants to do because God moves where there is faith. What's amazing to me, as I said, that the king's decree was only for 30 days. Daniel could have obeyed and stopped praying for 30 days and he could have avoided the lion's den. That's what most Christians would do today. Well, you got to use wisdom, Pastor Steve. You got to use some wisdom, Pastor Steve. There's a pandemic going on. You can't have church. You can't be praying for people. That's the time we should be praying for people more than ever is when there's a pandemic going on. Dear Lord, Daniel obeyed God. Daniel trusted God, didn't he? See, you got to protect your peace. There's some people that are peace stealers. Thank God none of them are here today. But there's some people that just try and make you look bad. They want to tell you what you can't do. They're going to try and bait you into an argument. They want to try and get you upset, annoyed, frustrated. Listen, don't take their bait. There's not worth. They are not worth losing your peace over. Because you're not who they say that you are. You are who God says that you are. And if you stay in peace and keep being your best, God will promote you right in front of those people. David said in Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. That means God will elevate you so that all those people who try to keep you down will clearly see it. No matter what comes our way, our attitude should be, I know God is with me. God is for me. Who can be against me? He's in control. Everything's going to be all right. You need to let that phrase sink down in your spirit today. Everything is going to be all right. Someone says they're laying off people. I heard they're laying off people at your company. You should say, yeah, I know, I heard it too. But you know what? I know Jehovah Jireh, he's still on the throne and everything is going to be all right. Someone says, well, your child is sure acting up. Ah, your attitude should be, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. Someone says, I heard you got a bad report from the doctor. You got a bad report from the doctor. You should say, yes, but I got another report. And it says God is restoring health to me and everything is going to be all right. If you will meditate on that simple phrase, no matter how big the challenge, it will help you to stay calm. Tell your neighbor, everything's going to be all right. Tell them, I don't know what you're going through, but everything's going to be all right. Amen. When Jerry got a diagnosis of cancer and he went for treatment, he just got it back. He's cancer-free. Is this true? He's cancer-free. When Tony Carrada got a verdict of cancer, we prayed over him. He's cancer. He called me, I'm cancer-free. You see, it doesn't mean that you won't have difficulties. It doesn't mean you won't face problems. But when you rest and trust in God, he will deliver you and heal you and provide for you every time. Some of you have been wrestling with a situation month after month. You've been anxious. You've been worried. But let me tell you what God is saying to you. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know I am God. And the contemporary English version says, our God says, calm down and learn. I'm God. And the Passion Bible says, surrender your anxiety, be still and realize I'm God. God is saying, I just got to remind you, do you know who I am? I am God. Be at peace. I am God. Surrender your anxiety. I am God. Be calm because I'm God. I'm with you. Get your peace back. Get your joy back. Stay at rest. It might look dark. It might look gloomy right now. But let me tell you, right above those dark clouds, the sun is shining. And if you will turn that over to him and stop worrying about it, I can tell you right now, everything is going to be all right. Sometimes God doesn't deliver you from the storm. Sometimes he takes you through the storm. There's two kinds of faith. There's a delivering faith and there's a sustaining faith. A delivering faith is when God instantly turns that situation around. We all love it when that happens. But most of the time, God gives us a sustaining faith. That's when we have grace to walk through that difficulty. Are you with me? If you don't understand this, you'll try to pray away every challenge. You'll fight against everything you don't like. You'll end up frustrated. That's why I love Joseph, the story of Joseph. Because even though it wasn't fair what happened to him, Joseph didn't fight it. He embraced it. He didn't get bitter. He got better. He kept being his best. He kept staying in peace. And God brought him out on top. God promoted him. That's sustaining faith. What about the three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were commanded to bow down to the king's idol or they would be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. What did they say? They said in Daniel 3, verse 16, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. They didn't seem worried about it, did they? They were like, we're not worried. We got inside information. We know everything's going to be all right. I mean, you think about it. We sit now and we talk about that story. Imagine you were being threatened to being thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Well, let me just bow down. I mean, I can ask God to forgive me later. Let's just bow down. He'll forgive me later. They didn't do that. The Bible says they were thrown into the fiery furnace. The gods turned up the furnace 7 times more than normal. And what happened? The fourth man showed up. Jesus showed up. The king Nebuchadnezzar said, we threw 3 men in the fire. I see 4 men, and they're walking around, and they're not hurt. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. The Bible says they came out of that. They came out of that burning fiery furnace. They didn't even smell like smoke. They weren't even singed. God didn't deliver them from the fire, but God protected them through the fire. Can you say amen? Amen. See, if you're only gonna stay at rest, you've got to let God do it his way. Because if you're only going to be happy if it happens your way, on your timetable, you're probably going to end up frustrated. Because sometimes God doesn't do things the way that we think that he should do them. God's ways are not always our ways. His timetable may not line up with our timetable. But I found out God's way is much better than my way. It may take a little longer, and I might have to stretch, and I might go through some difficulties. But when it's all said and done, you're going to come out promoted, increased, elevated, restored, better off than what you were before. How do I know that? I know that because Isaiah chapter 43 says, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God. Psalm 66, verse 12. We went through the fire and we went through the flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. The Passion Bible says, in the end, you always bring us out better than we were before, saturated with your goodness. See, we might go through the fire and we might go through the flood, but God says, I'll bring you out better than what you were before. God's about to turn it around. Tell your neighbor, God's about to turn it around. I don't know what it is, but he's about to turn it around. God's about to amaze you with his goodness. When you remain at rest, God's going to bring you out. God's going to fight for you. God's going to deliver you. God's going to do miracles. You may be in the fire right now, but remember, favor's coming. You may be going through deep waters, but if you hold your peace, favor's coming your way. Maybe like Joseph, you're in a situation where you're not being treated right, but if you will stay calm and at rest and keep your trust and faith in God, I assure you, something good is coming. Favor's coming. Vindication's coming. Breakthroughs are coming. Healing's coming. Provision's coming. Victory's coming. Weeping may endure for the night, the Bible says, but joy comes in the morning. Be still and know that he is God. Amen. Some of you in the fire right now, you're in a difficult time right now. You could easily be angry and bitter, upset, worried, anxious. But listen, God wants me to tell you, you need to come back to that place of peace. God has favor in your future. God already has the solution to what you're facing right now. In Isaiah 30 verse 15, the scripture says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. The contemporary English version says, if you turn back to me and if you calm down, I will make you strong. God says that if you'll come to me and if you will calm down and if you will have peace and if you will have rest and if you will trust me, I'll make you strong. You're going to have a greater strength when you're at rest. Amen. And I say this respectfully, but there are some people who are just peace stealers. They want to bait you into conflict. They want to try and get you in an argument. They want to try and discourage your faith. Are you with me? Some people are high maintenance. I mean, they've always got a problem. Every time they call, it's a major crisis. They expect you to come running, bail them out, encourage them, keep them fixed, keep them encouraged. And they're good people. Don't misunderstand me. You love them. But you shouldn't allow people to continually dump their problems on you. If you don't put up a boundary, let me tell you, they won't be the only one unhappy. You'll end up unhappy too if you don't learn to protect your peace. I'm all for helping people, loving people, taking time to care for people. But some people who won't deal with their own issues, as long as they can dump it on you, that's the easy way out. As long as you'll bail them out, feel sorry for them, let them unload their burdens, they'll do it again and again and again. And what they're doing is they're trying to, you know, they dump it on you, then they go home and go to bed and you stay up worrying about what are we going to do about it. Here's what I'm saying. It's easy to take on a false sense of responsibility where you jump every time they call. You try and keep them fixed every time they call. Listen, you are not responsible for other people's happiness. Don't let their unhappiness keep you from being happy. I don't know about you. I've got enough drama in my life. I don't need somebody else's drama. Now, as a pastor, I'm available to people and all the time. But I'm talking about my friends. I don't want to just be friends with people that it's a one-sided relationship. Are you with me? If they won't make good decisions and if they want to live upset and be bitter in a crisis mode, that's their choice. You can't stop it. But you shouldn't let them control you. You shouldn't make them feel guilty if you don't help. Don't let them call you all hours of the day. You're not a garbage can. You've got to protect your peace. so they can be at rest. Like a business, you've got to have hours of operation, times when you're open and times when you're closed. You know, I'm open from this time to this time. They call you at 10 p.m. at night, and, you know, you're at peace. You're spending time with your family, enjoying time with your children maybe. You know, your phone rings normally. You'd rush and answer it and get all uptight and all upset. Next time it happens, just say, sorry, not open for business right now. You mean don't answer the phone? Yes, that's why God created voicemail. Don't let their crisis steal your peace. Let me tell you, your destiny is too important to let people who are not dealing with their own issues hold you back. You've got to recognize that's a peace stealer. You've got to make some changes. But Pastor Steve, what if I hurt their feelings? Well, what if you miss your destiny? God didn't create you to keep everybody happy. Sure, do your part. Be a giver, go the extra mile, but don't become a garbage dump where you allow someone to always dump their burdens on you. You've got to protect your emotional energy because you have a limited supply every day. And if you're taking in all this extra drama every day, involved in things you shouldn't be involved with, then you're not going to have the emotional energy for what you need, for your dreams, your children, your assignment. Let me tell you right now, I don't get into arguments with people. I don't get into drama. I just, thank you very much, see you later. I protect my peace. I'm not saying to be selfish. I'm saying to be wise. You can't fix everybody. You can't make people do what's right. You're not called to straighten out everyone. You're not the Savior. We already have a Savior. I've learned some people don't really want to change. They like the attention it brings to have you at their beck and call. They like the sympathy. A lot of times, instead of helping them, we're actually enabling their dysfunction. We're doing them a disservice. If you don't bail them out, maybe they'll start taking responsibility. If they can't reach you every 5 minutes, maybe they'll learn to encourage themselves. Life's too short to go through it being controlled. You shouldn't spend all your time trying to straighten everybody else out. Amen. Some of your relatives that are upset with each other, in 20 years' time, they're still going to be upset with each other. Don't waste your valuable time being upset with them. They don't want to be happy, that's fine. But don't let them keep you from being happy. Turn it over to God. Enjoy your life. Sometimes you've got to make hard decisions to reach your destiny, to become everything God intended you to be. I want everyone to like me. I want to please them. I don't like to tell people no, but I've learned you can't fulfill your assignment when you're trying to please everybody. If you're trying to keep everybody around you happy, the one person will not be happy is you. Well, what if they get upset, Pastor Steve? What if they start talking about me? they won't be the first, and they're not going to be the last. I'd rather have people be upset with me than not become who God designed me to be. The Apostle Paul said this in Galatians 1, verse 10. He said, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, I'm living to please God. The Passion Bible says, I'm obviously not trying to flatter you or water down my message to be popular with men, but my supreme passion is to please God. For if all I attempt to do is please people, I would fail to be a true servant of Christ. Can I tell you that I'm living to please one person? I'm living to please God. He's the one I'm going to stand before and give an account to and answer to. I've had people tell me, Pastor Steve, if you didn't talk about speaking in tongues, I think more people would come to church. If you didn't talk about tithing, if you didn't talk about this, I'm living to please God. Amen. If you put these boundaries up, let me tell you, you'll live more peacefully. You'll be more effective. You'll move quicker into your destiny. You know, and when you tell somebody, I love you, but you can't call me every 5 minutes. I can't keep you cheered up. I can't keep bailing you out again and again. If they get upset, they really weren't your friend. They were controllers and manipulators. They like you for what you can do for them, not who you are. You don't need friends like that. Let me tell you, make a change. God will give you true friends. The longer that I live, the more I realize the importance of having the right people in our life. You will not reach the fullness of your destiny with people constantly dragging you down. Are you with me? When you're always having to spend your time and your energy keeping them fixed and encouraged. You need people who feed you. People who inspire you, people who challenge you. That's what you'll find at Connect Group. People who are happy, people who are going to have fun, people who can laugh. Can you say amen? Man, I don't like being around a miserable person. Do you? A negative, miserable person sees the bad in everything. People, I like being around people, man, who are consistent, not people who are moody, up and down, always in a crisis mode, but rather people who are stable. If you don't get the wrong people out your life, can I tell you something? You'll never meet the right ones, especially in your inner circle. The people closest to you need to be stable, consistent, happy, godly, people that help move you towards your destiny. That's what you'll find at Connect Group. This is the reason so many people are stuck. Because who do you have in your life around you? Who are you giving your time and energy to? Is it putting out fires, trying to keep someone happy, feeling guilty because you can't meet all the demands that they're placing upon you? That's going to wear you out. Let me tell you, it's time to make a change. Realize you can't please everybody. We even see this with Jesus. After a long day of teaching the people and praying for the people, the Bible tells us in Mark 6:31, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. They didn't even have time to eat. There were so many people who needed prayer and ministry. There's so many needs that had not been met. I'm sure some people must have thought, wow, we traveled all this way to come see Jesus and he didn't even wait to pray for us. He went off with his disciples somewhere to go rest. He let us down. But Jesus wasn't being rude. He wasn't overlooking needs. He was taking care of himself. He knew he needed to get away. He needed to get quiet so he could be refreshed and restored. The scripture says in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He knew that he needed to withdraw and get along with the Father. There will always be people who need you. Someone who needs rescuing or needs encouraging or needs your help. And if you try to meet all those needs, you'll end up run down. Even over time, even burned out. Your number one priority is to keep yourself healthy. You shouldn't be pressured into doing things that you know are going to wear you out and over time will keep you from your destiny. If Jesus was willing to walk away from needs to protect his peace and stay at rest, then we need to be willing to walk away from things that we know are stealing our peace. Are you hearing me today? In Mark chapter 4, the disciples were in a boat in the middle of a lake and a huge storm arose and they were so afraid, they were so worried. Jesus was asleep. He was at rest in the back of the boat. They woke him up. They said, "Don't you care, Master? We're going to drown. We're going to die." He woke up and what did he do? He spoke to the storm. He said, "Peace be still," and everything calmed down just like that. What's interesting is these disciples had seen Jesus. They'd just seen Jesus heal a paralyzed man and cure lepers and do all kinds of miracles. You would think that since they'd seen these miracles and Jesus told them just cross to the other side, that they would have believed him, that they would have believed that they could make it. But doubt and fear crept in and they started to panic and they woke up Jesus. And like with those disciples, there will always be people trying to get you out of your rest, trying to wake you up out of your, "Oh, we're going to die." They may be good people. They may mean well, but they tend to focus on the negative side of life, blow things out of proportion, see everything as a crisis. If you allow them to, they'll get you all wrought up. You got to put your foot down. You got to say, "No, I'm staying at rest. I'm staying at peace. Don't wake me up with your worry. Don't wake me up with your fear. Don't wake me up with your doubt. I know God is on the throne. He brought me through in the past, and he's going to bring me through this time. I may go through the fire. I may go through the flood. God's going to bring me out better off than ever before, saturated by his goodness." Amen. You may say, "Pastor Steve, I've got a bad medical report. My child's off course. My business has gone down. I got this challenge. I got that challenge." But when you know that the God who controls the universe is in your boat, the God who speaks to the storms and they obey is right there with you. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He said, "If I'm for you, what can be against you?" You'll have a different perspective, man. You won't let circumstances pull you out of rest. You won't let people who are panicking and stressed out cause you to panic. You won't stay focused on the size of the problem. You will stay focused on the size of your God. You will look to Him and you will trust in Him and you will rest in Him and you will stay in peace. Amen. Don't even let your own negative thoughts wake you up from your rest. Don't let people wake you up with their worry and their doubt. Stay in peace. And let me tell you, God will do what He promised. He'll get you to where you're supposed to be. Amen. Amen. You see, it's how you respond in the storms of life, the difficult times, that influences how people around us respond. If Jesus woke up, imagine they woke up, the disciples woke Jesus up, and He woke up and He said, "Oh, this is really bad, man. This is really bad." They would have panicked. They would have jumped off the side of the boat. But because Jesus stayed at rest and at peace, not only could He bring peace, but the people around Him calmed down. You know, when you live at rest and you live at peace, your family will be more peaceful. When you don't get stressed out at the office, when everybody else does, the people around you will calm down. Amen. When you're stable and consistent, you're in a good mood, despite what's going on around you, just like Jesus, because you have peace on the inside, you'll bring peace to the outside. Don't let people wake you up with their negativity. Like, imagine you're at a hotel and you don't want to be bothered and you put up the do not disturb sign on your door. That's what you got to do. You got to put up a do not disturb sign on your life. You're announcing, listen, I'm staying at rest. Don't wake me up with your turmoil. Don't wake me up with your drama. Don't wake me up with your fear. You got to tell those peace stealers, man, look at the sign on the door. Do not disturb. I've entered into the rest of God, and I'm staying in that place of rest. Amen? Because you're going to have opportunities to wake up from that rest just like they did with Jesus. Even though circumstances and people will try and get you out of that peace, let me tell you, you're the one who has the final say. You have to fight to stay at rest. You have to be determined not to let anything steal your peace. Can you say amen, someone? How many times do we let small things pull us out of that rest? Don't let it, man. You'll never keep away all the peace stealers. If you're waiting for people to change and circumstances to change, you're going to live stressed and worried out and worried your whole life. Because they may never change. But the good news is you can change. You can enter into this rest. You can put up that do not disturb sign. Despite what may come against you, you can make up your mind. You're going to stay in peace. Are you allowing things to pull you out of that rest? Because let me tell you, anyone can be peaceful when everything is going their way. The test comes when life happens. The easy thing to do is panic, get upset. You got to recognize what's happening. Those are peace stealers trying to pull me out of my rest. I refuse to take the bait. Remember when Moses told the Israelites, if you stay at rest, God will fight your battles? Let me tell you, if you'll quit worrying about the medical report, if you'll quit being upset over the contract you didn't get, if you'll quit being stressed out because people are talking about you, if you remain at rest, God will fight your battles. I said, God will fight your battles. Today I'm asking you to identify the things that are stealing your peace. What is it that's causing you to be stressed out? Are you carrying a load that you're not supposed to carry? Are you allowing people to steal your peace? Turn it over to God. Don't let them pull you out of that rest. We're supposed to cast all of our burdens on the Lord. And the Bible says, then He will take care of it for us. Life is too short to go through it letting peace stealers determine our destiny. If you will determine that you're going to enter into that place of rest and stay in that place of rest and not let anything pull you out, let me tell you, not only will you enjoy your life so much more, but I believe and I declare that God will do for you what He did for the Israelites. That God will fight for you. He'll part Red Seas for you. He'll restore your health. He'll deliver you. He'll protect you. He'll bring vindication, promotion, the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. Do you receive it today? Bow your head for me if you would. Bow your head. I want to pray. Father, I thank You for every person that's here this morning. And I thank You, Lord, that You are for us. You are with us. I thank You, Lord, that we can rest and we can trust in You no matter how things look. I thank You, Lord, that You are El Shaddai. You're the God who is more than enough. that, Lord, there is nothing that is too hard for you. There is nothing that is too difficult for you. I thank you, Lord, that as we rest and trust in you, you fight our battles in Jesus' name. While you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, I want to pray right now. If there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking is if you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that heaven is where you will spend all eternity? Because let me tell you the good news. You can know that for sure. Heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you, but you can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and God. You can know that every sin and every mistake you've ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and God. If that's you today, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I want to ask you just quickly, lift your hand up. Raise your hand up higher. Lift your hand up. If your hand is raised, I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Just lift it up. Thank you. Thank you. Slip it up right now. Here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. I want everyone who lifted your hand, I want to ask you please to say this prayer with me. Church, can we all please say this prayer together with them, everybody? The scripture says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Say this. Everybody, say, dear God. Everyone, say, dear God. I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood, take my punishment. I believe, Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess, I declare, Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I am a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. If you raised your hand on that prayer, I'm going to ask you to remain seated for the next few minutes. One of our counselors is going to come over. We have a gift we want to give you. If you lifted your hand, we have a gift we want to give you before you go. Just remain where you are. Praise the Lord. We want to thank everyone. Thank you for your giving, all those online. Thank you for your faithful giving. You got something you're going to share with us this morning, right?
Yes, I am. Because, you know, just like Pastor Steve said, the Word of God produces faith. So we never receive the offering without reading a scripture concerning giving, because we want to increase your faith in the area of giving and let you know what God says. And so, thanks very much. But I just want to thank everybody. This is a time in the service where we give. Many people give during the week online, and we appreciate that. But, you know, the way that our church is supported is by the tithes and offerings of members of our church and of people that come and visit. And so this is the time in the service where we receive the offering. There are envelopes in the seats where you're sitting. There's various ways to give. They'll come up on the screen. Very easy. We just added the Cash app, and I know that a lot of people find that really easy because they've already got it set up. You can give on our website. And whenever you give online for the first time, there's one time that you set it up with a username and a password. And after that, it's like if I give online, so simple. I just go straight into it and you can do that and it's totally secure. But I'm going to read a scripture today to encourage your faith. Malachi 3 verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes, which it is described what it is, the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in it, by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not even be room enough to receive it. So God's speaking and he says, bring the whole tithe into my house. That's what God says. And then he says, and I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues, I like that, for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before its time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. I want to listen to what God says. You know, the world says, hang on to everything you've got. And God says, honor me with the first, right? And, you know, Prophet Ed Trout, you know Prophet Ed Trout? He comes and ministers here, and I love him. And he gives these little words of wisdom. And he said something, and I wrote it down. He said, God will always test you in two areas, your treasures and your relationships. That's why, you know, you can be in a church and somebody gets on your last nerve and they bug you and they irritate you. And so you leave a church and you go to another church to get away from them, but you find another person that's just like them, different face, same problems, because God's dealing with you concerning relationships. And God will always deal with us concerning finances as well, because he's checking the heart. You know, we think that tithing, when God says, he's real specific, he says, bring the first tenth, you think it's a money test. But you know what it is? It's a heart test. God, what does 10% mean to God? He doesn't need our finances. He's testing our heart at every turn. Amen? So as you prepare to give, thank you for your faithfulness. Just go ahead and prepare yourself. I just wanted to thank Doug. Where are you, Doug? Just saw you a minute ago. There he is. Wave again. Doug, and I just loved your testimony, what he told Pastor Steve. Doug and his son Sebastian, who was here last week, they have a carpet cleaning company. So if you want your carpets cleaned, go to Doug. And they said they wanted to come and clean the church carpets. And he said, you know, Pastor Steve, we were there cleaning the church carpets and our phone just started blowing up with contracts, right? Like six different contracts called them.
Six jobs calling.
That's not a coincidence. And you know, you might say, well, you know, you're saying those things so that people will do stuff for the church. Let me tell you, I'll tell my kids, you do everything you can for the house of God.
That's right.
Because God does not overlook it. Amen.
That's right.
So we really appreciate that. And
that's
he's
right.
Just one of many. If you've done a lot of things, we'll think of that. We'll say it one day, right?
Well, we've got Mark Goldstein, who always is coming and helping and fixing computers and doing all kinds of stuff. And he told me this month, for the first time in his business, they're on track for $1 million for the year. It was their best month ever. This month was their best month ever.
Yeah. He said that when he added it up, he was believing God that it would go beyond, was it 84,000. So he added up and it was under. And he's like, something's not right here. So he went back and he added up and he had missed a $4,000 job. And it took him right over the number they were believing God for the first time ever in business. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to give this morning? Are you ready, ushers? Lord, we thank you. Your word says that when we bring the tithe, your tithe, into the storehouse, that you would open the windows of heaven. And you would pour blessings upon us. And you would rebuke the devourer. Lord, I thank you that the windows of heaven are open above every tither and every giver. I thank you that blessings are being poured upon them. I thank you that blessings are chasing after them, Lord. Everywhere they go, blessings are jumping on them. thank you, Lord, that we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the country. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed in our coming. We're blessed in our going. Everything we put our hand to, you bless it and you prosper it, Lord. Thank you for blessing and prospering and increasing your people in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen, somebody. Thank you, ushers. You can go ahead. I want to just mention to you, we've been doing a clean out at our house. We're packing up. 20 years we've been living there. And so I brought a whole box of CDs. I want to give them away. They're in the lobby. They're on a table. They're all Joel Osteen. I've literally got hundreds of Joel Osteen that I've listened to and preached many of them. Anyway, so they're out there in the lobby. You're welcome to take them there for free. Don't forget that to fill out this Connect card if you want to be part of a Connect group. And I really encourage you to do it and put it in the offering bucket that's coming around. Also, all right, well, you can put the card on the counter. If you miss the offering bucket, put it on the counter. Also, I want to do another Christian growth seminar, and I need to know how many people are interested in attending. And I had a few people that signed up, like Tom and Deirdre and Michelle. If you haven't done the Christian growth seminar, I encourage you, take this green card. It's in the seat back in front of you. Please fill this card out and come and be a part of the next Christian growth seminar. Amen. God bless you. Tell your neighbor, I'm sure glad you were here today. Tell them, I'm resting in God. I'm trusting in God. Not let anything steal my peace. Amen. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Invite someone to church next Sunday. We'll see you next time. We praise you.